You're listening to Divorce Literacy with the Divorce Lending Association, a divorce podcast where we dig deep into issues of divorce that center around the marital home, other real property, and divorce mortgage planning, helping divorcing homeowners and their divorce team make more informed decisions regarding home equity solutions during and after divorce.
Welcome. Hi, I'm Ida Reyes, and I'm a certified divorce lending professional. And this interview is part of a divorce literacy series from the Divorce Lending Association. We have this unique project to, it's an excellent opportunity to provide people online looking for information about local family law professionals and to give them some insight into the process. So today I have with me Snehal Masih. And Snehal, would you kindly introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Well, first, I want to thank you, Ida, so much for this opportunity. I think the series that you're doing is a great series to provide provide as a resource to folks that are looking for or in the divorce process. So my name is Snehal Masih. I practice family law. I'm an attorney and I practice family law here in Columbia, Maryland. I came to law actually as a second career before law school. I used to be in the business world, and I decided to go into law school specifically to do practice family law. Most people find that odd, but I wanted to really help families and children during this really incredible transition that they're going through. And so that's why I chose family law. And once I got to law school, I kind of tailored my classes and everything to ensure that I was going to be in the family law firms and getting as much experience during law school in that arena.
Can you tell us a little bit? Do you have a specialty in family law? Like, what is most of your practice?
Most of my practice seems to be custody and divorce. I feel like most, even with my divorces, most of them are more custody focused versus the divorce or versus the assets. So I feel like custody, I wouldn't say it's my specialty, but lately that's kind of been where most of my cases have landed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And, you know, we know that each divorce is very unique. Of course, you just sort of said that, and having, you know, been through my part of the process, I know that, you know, that, it's quite a process for a family, kind of turns their life upside down. So if you could give a heads up in any area for somebody who's starting down this path, what would you say to that person?
One of the biggest things I tell my clients when they come is to try to document or get as many documents. One of the things I find is spouses come into the divorce process and they are so unaware of their finances or any of the assets that they have. And I think that starts to make them feel like it scares them into whether or not this process is the right thing. So if you're able to, I would say try to get more involved in your financial family process, meaning being involved with the bills and what the bills are, where they are, and things like that. I think that's really helpful so that when you come, and most attorneys ask you these questions about finances, you're not sitting there feeling like you should be doing something that you haven't. I know that every family is unique and they divide things differently in terms of who takes care of what. But I think for parties, especially in the divorce process, I think that's one of the most important things that I see that would be helpful.
When a client comes to you, do you help them differentiate, for example, between like collaborative or mediation or some of the other options? Can you kind of talk about that for a minute?
Sure. Yes, I do. Actually, I've been doing that more so now. I just had my first collaborative case, which I thought was one of my best experiences. I really enjoyed working in the collaborative process. I think that I always used to say I try to resolve matters collaboratively, but the collaborative law process is just so unique and different. And so when clients first come to me and you get to gauge the case of where it is, right? And if it's a brand new case that hasn't started at all, and it seems like the parties are not contentious or they're close, I go through the process. I provide them the options of mediation and collaboration and litigation. And it's so interesting because most people think the collaborative is the more expensive process, but it's not. It ends up not being that, you know, at the end of the day. So going through that process, more folks have been surprised that there's more ways to resolve their dispute mm-hmm. other than litigation or just going to trial. Because people think divorce and they think court. And to do it in an out-of-court process, it is unique, and I think it's something that people don't know a lot. So I hope that I continue to do that and educate folks on the different types of ways you can, you know, go through this transition.
Okay, excellent. And so oftentimes it's important in divorce to have a strong divorce team. And, you know, whether any particular type of divorce that you, so what would you say to people to look for when they're trying to put together maybe they ask you for referrals, but if not, what would you tell them to put together a good team?
One of the things I think, because a lot of my divorce cases have custody aspects too, I think for me, I always encourage them to work with a coach because I think it would really help them resolve the disputes versus talking to me when my specialty is just the legal aspect and not how to solve the day-to-day disputes. So I think definitely a coach. Financial planner, I think is really, or a financial advisor, I think is helpful, someone to help them just separate and understand their finances too, and educate themselves post-divorce. Because I think that's another thing that people don't realize is now you're starting over. So how do you do all of these things that you didn't used to do during the marriage? I think those two folks, a financial planner is really helpful when there's assets involved. I think obviously someone that is able to help you with dividing those. And then I always tell all of my clients to work with a counselor or a therapist, because this is such a trying process, regardless of where you are in it.
Yes, absolutely. So what would you say was your most gratifying case, and how were you able to make a difference for a client? What would you say there?
I would say my most gratifying case, like I mentioned earlier, the collaborative law was, I think, one of my favorites, just mm-hmm. because of the process. But my most gratifying case, I think, was earlier on in my career, where it was a pro bono case. And it was a custody a custody modification. And it was so gratifying only because, not because of the result itself, but just the client and them being so appreciative of what you did for them, right? Because it was about their child. And just seeing that, I think it reminds me of why I do what I do. When a client gets their kids back, or they get a result that's not just financially beneficial, but truly what's right, and they're so grateful for it. It's just hard to explain the feeling. And some of those clients still keep in touch with me. They call me and just tell me how their kids are still doing.
Oh, that's great.
You know, post the case years later, which I think is shows how much of an impact you have in their lives.
Yes. Now, when you do a case like where there's children, and you said you like to do that kind of a case, do you have someone come in and help with a parenting plan, or how do you handle that piece of it?
I don't have someone specifically. I encourage them to work with a coach to help them craft a parenting plan if they're able to. I think I've been able to do that more often recently than in the past. But if not, I do work with my clients to create the parenting plan. And I take a very child-centric approach. I try to look at it from the child's mm-hmm. perspective and what's best for the child. And sometimes that's not what my client wants either, but I'm like, but how is that really best for your child? And I make them think about it and refocus them of what's important.
That's great. And do you have any final thoughts for our listeners?
One thing I always want to tell people is, if nothing else, when you're in the divorce process, go see one of the professionals to find out what the process is, what the different ways you can get divorced, and what your rights are. So even if you don't want to hire an attorney, definitely go see one to know what the process and how it works is. It's really invaluable.
So definitely be educated on all of the options, but mm-hmm. how they might fit with you in your particular case, in that with that client, how it might fit.
Yes, that's also very true. I'm glad you said that, because every attorney doesn't work with every client the same way. Every professional is different. And sometimes finding an attorney that's a good fit may not be the first one you see. So don't feel discouraged if it's not the first person that you go see too.
Yeah, that's really great advice. Well, I can't thank you enough for sharing your valuable time with me today. And if someone would like to get in touch with you, what can you give us some information on how they would do that?
Sure. So you can certainly reach me by phone. My office number is 443-924-6116, or definitely check out my website. It's spmlawoffice.com. And we'd be happy to help you with any of your needs that you're looking for. And again, Ida, I want to say thank you so much for doing the series, and thank you for having me on it.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Divorce Literacy. Discover more strategies and solutions on divorce mortgage planning at divorcelendingassociation.com.